Let's bow our heads for prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you for bringing us here again this morning for another time of fellowship around your word. We appreciate all that you did for us in the week that ended yesterday. Your blessings, favor, mercies, protection, provisions, healings, and Lord, deliverances. We thank you for the services and what they accomplished in our life. We are here again in continuation of your service. We pray, O God, that our coming here today, we add, O God, your grace unto our life. We further your cause in the life of each of us. You know us, you know our needs, our expectations, and our desires. May they be met today, dear Father. Bring those on their way coming, Lord. Bless this Sunday school, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Let's open to our Bible once again to the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 2, verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you. Can please be seated. Possibly we want to try to end this part and then this, which we also end this minor church age, end this Sunday school. We've come a long way, and what we are trying to do is to trace that special group that the prophet spoke about, that we'll be able to hear what the Spirit says in their own age. And the prophet have come thus far to look at those people that they are the one that the scriptures speak about, that all their children shall be taught of the Lord. And we've seen a lot of things that causes confusion and take people off the beaten path. The prophet mentioned some of them and we went through them, gave some wrong evidence of the Holy Ghost as they put tongues as the evidence, and so many other doctrines came in that diverted the people. But in tracing the special group of people, the prophet said they are the minority, brought in the issue of one in a million and Israel as an example, how 2 million left Egypt and only two made it to the promised land. And then we come to the subject of predestination. He told us that the way men choose their wife, it's also how God chose his own. Though the difference between the two is that God is God and is a creator, but we are mortals. It's not every human being that is a man that will eventually get married. Some will not get married for so many things. Some may leave the earth before they reach the age of marriage. Some may get to the age of marriage and make attempts and it just did not work out. And eventually they will end it up in a bachelor throughout life. Some may also decide for God's service, that like Paul, that they will not be married and they will stay like that for the cause of Christ. And some may also have deformity in the flesh, and because of that, they will not be able to get married, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to God, God has everything planned out before the world began. He has his own bride in his thoughts, and he has the pattern, the plan of how he's going to bring them to manifestation, which nothing can alter. And the prophet went further to talk about God's thoughts, which are eternal. Your thoughts and yourself, they are the same. That's what the Bible says. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. The way your thought runs, that is just your person. And God cannot be separated from his thoughts. And these thoughts, he expressed them one after the other when the time is due. So this, from his thoughts, that's from where he predestinates. Predestinate means to predetermine the end of a thing or a person. So by that, when he has expressed the thoughts, say this one, being that they are mine in my heart before the world began, this is where they will end their journey. The one of the cases in the scripture that make it so plain is the issue of Jacob while he was in the womb. Why God said of him that I love him. And he came to this world, according to Genesis account, speaking lies, doing evil. But as time goes on, he got to the spot where he can no more continue in that way. And he wrestled with God, and he prevailed according to the scripture. And he became Israel, a prince that has power with God. And his name remained immortal till today. Amen. Now the prophet said that because God is not adding to his knowledge is perfect, nobody teaches him nothing, and nobody advises him. He knows the end from the beginning. Everything that he plan out, they are perfect, and nothing stops. Can cut short what he has planned and put in place. These elect of his, the prophet said, they are also regarded as his own seed. It is this same seed that Matthew 13 referred to as a good seed that the master planted in his feet before the enemy came and sowed tares in between. And because when each one come to the earth, just like Jacob, they will come according to the scripture, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Then God has in place the program of redemption, which the prophet said that means to buy back. They were his own before, but when they came to this earth, they dropped to be the property of Satan because of the way they were born, the perverted way. Then God have the program of redemption to buy back his own. And that is why the scripture said that when Jesus was born, he will call Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So these his own people, they are the one that this plan of redemption is meant for, to go and buy them. And that is why, as you said the other time, God have it in the Old Testament law of redemption, that the land will not be sold forever. When it is sold, there's a way it will return back to the owner. God put it there in the image so that we could be able to understand, in the shadow, so that we could be able to understand what happens when we get to the image. So this elect is also called the seed of God. And the prophet called them the spoken word seed bride. And this elect, being that they are seed, the prophet said that, like we have explained that in a lot of sermons, the prophet preached, the seed shall not be heir with the shock, and the seed is not heir with the shock. And the spoken word is the original seed. He told us from the natural seed, if you put corn, about three corns here now, There is a yellow, small yellow part inside that seed of corn. That is where the seed of that thing is. If insects are eating that one, no matter how beautiful the something is, when you put it in the ground, it will just rot and that will be the end. For the corn to germinate, it must contain the seed inside. And well, don't let us go too deep because we can go more than that. So the children of God, the prophet told us that at birth, that there is something like the head of our nail that is sleep inside of their heart if he is an illet. It doesn't matter whether it is a prostitute that gave birth to the child. Whosoever gave birth to the child is immaterial. He said that small thing is slipped in at the birth of that child. He said that is what that person will come to sooner or later. Which means that the time of coming to it will be different. That of the thief on the right was so later, until that later means at the very last minute of his death. That of Charles Braham, the father of Abraham, was so later that it was also on his dying bed. And we have accounts like that of people that will be at the last minute that they will come to it. So there is no way that a mortal can be able to assess another mortal that this one is a serpent seed for so many reasons. Number one, you don't have access to the list that God compiled. Number two, you also don't know what happens in the person's heart even at when the person is dying. Even if you are even present there. No, mostly when people are to die, the last few minutes, they can't even talk. So you don't know what happens. It's only God that have those accounts. So sufficient for everybody is to believe for yourself and leave the remaining. Then the prophet told us that this seed or this elect, then there has to be a supernatural calling for that one, one time of the person's life. A time when the person will realize that he's really not a chicken, but it's an eagle. Because every child of God, when they come to this earth, they first of all act like chicken. They are born and ash in the barnyard. And is constantly under the mother hen. The denominations. This, that. Even the ones that are born, maybe in the message, does not mean that they are born in the faith. They are only born in the environment of where God's word is preached. But as for the thing entering their ear, it doesn't enter until God opens that ear. That is why we see different manifestations. It is at God's own time that this very ear we are talking about is opened. And until God opened that ear, you find out that the person will be hearing something else, even though he's sitting in the same environment. May God be gracious to us. This call that God makes to his people, the prophet says, is a supernatural call. The one that Abraham used as example, the eaglet with the chicks and the hen, they were in the same environment together, all of them together. And then the mother eagle screamed in the air to the other chicks. It was just a useless cry because they don't understand it. But to this eaglet, there is a magnet that attracted this little eaglet to that voice. Just like every little children here, no matter how plenty mothers are, when their own mother talks, they recognize their mother's voice. Also, when their own father talks, they recognize their own father's voice in the midst of many voices. And that is how that eaglet also recognized that this call is for me. And they were communicating, and the chicks were there, and they didn't know what was going on. Until they saw the little something flopping like this and the feet was leaving the ground, maybe they may also attempt it. They just find out that their own feet will not leave the ground. Even if the mother hen is able to leave the ground, there is a maximum limit of where it can go, where we have to come back down. Because it's a heart-bound bird. When hen fly, the one that can fly most, that is if a fence is not too tall. If a fence is too tall, it will just hit that fence and fall down back. But this eaglet was going, and Brother Ram said that the mother hen was saying that, come back, this is where the revival is taking place. Say, you are talking to the wrong person. Off it goes. When it gets to some extent, then the mother eagle pick it. Now let me say something. We all know that the eagle, by his size and by the power he has, an eagle that can even pick a lion and carry it up and pick several animals. He just pick snake like this one and fold you with his leg and so many things. Can that eagle fly down, scare the mother hen, or first of all pick the mother hen self, fling it somewhere, and then come back and now pick his own child and now leave? Can't he do like that? He can do like that one. But you see, God is so perfect that everything that he does, he cannot contradict the other one. There is a part that man must play, and there is a part that he also must play. That is, God will make the call. He will leave it to the person to respond. That is why it is the part of this little eaglet to come up. It's not for the eagle to come and carry it from the floor. Brabham said that if God put you in a pipe here, and then you come out from the other end, and now pick you and say you are an overcomer. He said, what did you overcome? You don't overcome if there is no fight. There must be a fight before someone is declared winner. May God be gracious to us. The day God called Peter and Andrew, supposing they did not follow him, that would be their end. He went to meet them at the ground and said, you follow me. And then they follow him. The way he called Matthew from the custom office and said, you follow me. I said, follow you for what? Don't you see the job I'm doing? That is a good job, well paid. So if I follow you, what am I going to get from you? How much is the salary you are paying me? Is it going to be better than this one? You just follow him. So Abraham said that this call as supernatural. He talked of that of Abraham. That was where he taught us more about even the calling. Abraham that have his place settled and everything. And God came to him one day and said, oh yeah, take your wife and then anything that will be inside your hand luggage, leave your house, leave your property, every other thing, and then follow me to the place I will show you. Not that he didn't even tell him the place. There is no natural human being today that will respond to that kind of a thing. That say, you leave this your house, the house that you build yourself, I will show you another house, bring your things out. You want to see the address first. You will want to know that the address exists. You will Google it and see the type of building that is there, that is better than your own, better environment, and so on and so forth. Is it the Jane causing audio or what? All right. So, it has to take the supernatural hand of God to convince Abraham that this voice you are hearing is the voice of your Creator, and he has something better for you. That is how every call from God is supernatural. Now, the prophet from there comes to what he called the triumphal capstone on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This triumphal capstone, Brother Abraham said, is that the Holy Spirit is the confirmation that someone is a child of God. He said, this Holy Spirit come only upon sons. To make it Maybe we include the both gender, sons and daughters. But when the scripture says sons, he's talking about both. Because there is no feminine Holy Ghost. All the Holy Ghosts are masculine. Upon sons, the triumphal capstone is that it is a seal of approval. When you receive the Holy Ghost, it confirms to you that you are a son of God. You are a seed of God. You are an elect. You are part of his bride. Then it will confirm to you that you have been in existence with him before the world began. I'm not sure I can quickly get this scripture now. I will have read there some verses. I didn't think of it that I will read it, but somewhere in Proverbs, maybe I'll read it when we come back for the main service. Maybe if I have my phone, I will have. I'll bring it when I come to the main service. All right. The prophet read from Galatians 4:4-7. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his spirit, the spirit of his son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There it is. Jesus Christ came forth, died upon the cross, and accomplished redemption, restoring to original owner by means of purchase or paying the price, and thereby placed us as sons. Listen now. He did not make us sons, for we were already his sons. But he placed us as sons. For as long as we were in the world, in the flesh, we could not be recognized as his sons. We are his sons, but we are not recognized as his sons. Because his spirit have not come into us that will make our character to resemble his own. He said, but we were sons nonetheless. And hear this, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Upon whom did the Spirit fall at Pentecost? The answer is sons. At Corinth, upon sons. Why they had the word. So, upon whosoever God's Spirit fall, is a son or a daughter of God. That is just the difference between God's children and others. Now, in the Old Testament, it is called circumcision in the flesh. And God said, this is a covenant between me and you, and this is what will cause a difference between me, between you and other nations. You see, anyone that is born in their house or born with their money that become their permanent, the male must be circumcised. And when the male is circumcised, the male in turn will circumcise the female. Because the circumcision of the female is in the male. Amen. What is the baptism with the Holy Ghost? It is the Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. It is a new birth. It is the Spirit of God coming in and filling you after you have repented, having heard his word, and being baptized in water as an answer of a good conscience towards God. Amen. Now the prophet denounced the doctrine of Mormon, which talks about the pre-existence of souls, and also what they call reincarnation, and also transmigration. Let me explain the three. Pre-existence is that somebody exists before the creation. Is it possible? Reincarnation is what we call abiku here. That Omotunde, Babatunde, Iyabo, and the rest of them, that is reincarnation. It's unscriptural. And it is not of God. No matter how the child resembles the person that is gone. Don't you see people resemble themselves here that are alive? Yeah, they are not the same person. The one that is gone is gone. But it is a local belief that is contrary to God's word. And transmigration is this belief of somebody die here in Ibadan and then is alive living in Kano. It's a lie. They will bring story. He said the person come and said she follow them to their house. When it remains small, he said it is that house. This house. It's a lie. He yourself, you are under illusion. You are under illusion that you are following a dead person and he showing you road, and then you, when you are about to get to the place, he said you should go and ask for them in that place, this and that. It's under demonology. Let's leave that. May the Lord be gracious to us. All right. Because we are just whatsoever, we are just rounding up. Now the prophet said, we have been constantly saying that the true evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost is for the believer to receive the word for the age in which he lives. Let me show you most clearly. The seven ages are set forth in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 take in the whole span of the fullness of the Gentiles, or the old time in which God is dealing with the Gentiles unto salvation. That is the fullness of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles, as you find it in the account of the scripture, which Brother Paul said, it is the time of the seven church ages from Ephesus to the end of Laodicea. That is the fullness of Gentiles. In another description, it's a period that God is dealing with the Gentiles unto salvation. There's another one that was mentioned by Jesus Christ, times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles, Abraham said, it started from the time of Daniel to the end of the Gentile period, which is the end almost of the world. All right. In every single age, bar none, without exception, he says the very same thing in opening and closing the message to each age. Unto the messenger of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Right. This is seeth he. He that hath an ear, let him. Singular. Let not let the family. Not let the husband and wife. But let him. Let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. Notice here that Jesus, by the Spirit in every age, addresses himself to only one person relative to the word for that age. No, we don't have time this morning to go back to some things. We have. Some people don't believe in major messenger for an age. That's your cup of tea. You will get to know it later. But there is major messenger. Even in the Bible, you will know that there are major prophets and minor prophets. When you see the scripture, you see that some scripture in the Bible, just you will have the one of about 2 chapters, 3 chapters, where you will have another one that is 66 chapters. Are they the same prophets? Are they used the same way? All right. So the prophet said, God addresses his message to only one messenger. Only one messenger for each age receives what the Spirit has to say to that age. And that one messenger is a messenger to the true church. He speaks for God by revelation to the churches. The churches include both true and false. The message is then broadcast to all, but though it is broadcast for all who come within the range of the message, because the one that come within the range of the message includes believers, may believers, unbelievers.
That message is received individually by only a certain qualified group in a certain way. These are the special group we have been tracing. They are the one that receive it in a certain way. He says that message is received individually, not by husband and wife. The husband may have revelation today and the wife never have. The wife may have revelation today and the husband never have. By only individually, by only a certain qualified group in a certain way. Each individual of that group is one who has the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying by the way of the messenger. These are the special group. That individual is the one that has the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying by the way of the messenger. Those who hear are not getting their own private revelation, nor is a group getting their collective revelation, but each person is hearing and receiving what the messenger has already received from God. Amen. There is no fivefold. I don't care the ministry he has, that has the ability now to say he get a fresh revelation concerning a scripture now, different from what the prophet has already bought. When the person is getting that soul spiritual, me, I will give him a distance. In every age, we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. That's why Brother Paul warned in his own time that if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, say, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. We have that in 1 Corinthians 14. So the prophet said, he warned them, that is Paul now, he warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messengers, and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. Amen. Now, in closing, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches of each age. In every age, it was the same cry. Hear what the Spirit says. If you are a Christian, you will get back to what the Spirit is teaching. That is the word of this age. That is, if you are a Christian, it is not everybody that are within the range of the message that are Christians. But if you are a Christian, every messenger to every age will preach that word. Every fresh and true revival will be because men are gotten back to the word for their age. The cry of every age is the rebuke. You have left the word of God. Repent and come back to the word. From the first book in the Bible, Genesis, to the last book, Revelation, there is only one reason for God's displeasure: leaving the word. And there is only one remedy to regain his favor: back to the word. Everybody knows what the word says. Like I said the last time I preached on this, it is your decision to do what you do, because you already know. I said before you become a Christian, you receive the Holy Ghost, you are always fighting. You are at loggerhead with God. And I gave an example of, say, this morning, this very morning, some of you may battle, especially more on the female side, about the clothes to wear. If I wear this one, they will say. If I do this one, they will say. Who are the day that will say? Is it God or the people? You fear the people, but you don't fear God. But people that are actually Christians, they fear God. They don't care what my answer say. That is what matters. What did you, whatever you say, what will it do for me? There's nothing now. If what I say, what will it do for you? Nothing. You are exercising your rights. But there is only one person I am accountable to, you are also accountable to, that is the Almighty God. But you will not be able to obey him except you have his spirit inside of you. You will be battling with what he has said. Like the women are battling with what God has said about their ear. Men too are battling sometimes with the same ear too. Now, I was saying that day that I've seen women, men that wear skirts. I also saw men with eye issue. All of them in a group with eye issue. Everything has come to it. You see, female, this week I saw somebody that put an earring in the nose. They puncture it, yeah, come out here. People doesn't want to resemble human being again. This one is ancient. Is the one in the ear here. But they put here. Let me. I know as it's going, so you want to go and end that bed. Let me read this one. Amen. I will read this paragraph. If you are true, if you are true seed, if you are truly baptized with the Holy Ghost, you will esteem His word above your necessary meat. I yearn to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is my earnest prayer for all of us. May we hear what the Spirit is bringing from the word for us today. Amen. That is the final evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's for you to be able to esteem His word above your necessary meat and yearn to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Lord, we thank you for these few broken words that has gone forth in conclusion of this part of this book. Be with us as we proceed further. May these things do something in our life. May it mean something to us. There are people, O God, that are yet to receive this, your spirit. We pray, O God, that your own way, you will help them somehow today, Lord, to be able to have a clearer understanding. Grant it, eternal Father. Be with us the rest of the service today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.